time. What do you think when you hear that word, read that word, think that word? Words. Time. What does time mean? No, I'm not going to get into a physics lecture here. Not that I could, effectively. There's plenty of YouTube videos out there to boggle your mind about time. No, what I want to address is, in our practice of Buddhism, what are we doing with it? How does it relate? Excuse me. We don't think about this a lot, but we're always thinking about this all the time without being conscious that we're thinking about it. And when Shakyamuni talks about past, present, and future, how often have we read that sentence throughout Buddhist scholarship, from Nichiren all the way back to Shakyamuni, yeah? And why this constant wrapper around past, present, future as the three aspects of our existence, or the three whatevers, they're all wrapped into one thought. Now, I think it's a more important concept to Buddhism than we generally give credit to it. So I wanted to take it apart a little bit today, just in terms of how it relates to our practice. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. Like, subscribe, it helps grow the Sangha. Support this resource, the thousands of videos, the podcast, the website, it's all free. The bookstore, the ebooks on threefoldlotus.com. It's vital. It's vital, and our coffers are slowly starting to grow. I'll be able to buy a better video editing setup probably within the year, maybe, we'll see. We're growing slowly, but we are growing, right? And the only reason I talk about that is because we're about propagation. If we're being bodhisattvas, if we're practicing correctly, we need to be radiating this knowledge, this experience, this Buddhahood throughout our environment. We need to expand the influence of this being, this thinking. So how do we do that? Well, we chant every day. We do gongyo. We know the names, the labels we put on these things, but what are we actually doing? What are we accomplishing when we do all this work, this effort? So I read some papers and I watched some videos, some shows. This goes back a ways, but neurology and neuroscience about the brain is still very young in its insights about what's going on in our brains. Now, I'm not talking about the mind. And I do want to distinguish the two just for a moment. I talk all the time about the database of identification that our brains are incessantly doing. This is how we experience life generally. But the mind is not that. The mind is like the observer walking through the library. It's not even the librarian. The brain takes the activity of what it does, sorting information and putting it in order, time, this before that, this after that, this not necessary, throw it out, this that I barely noticed now becomes critical. The brain is doing all that. organizing the warehouse, that's the librarian. Your mind is not the librarian. Your mind is, look at all these books. Oh, that's interesting. What will I do with this today, right now? Forget it. Librarian, put this away. Right? We're, the mind is that freely experiencing moment-to-moment reality. I think this is in great measure what Shakyamuni discovered, is that the librarian and the database, that's our obsession. From those obsessions, all those books, and keeping them in order is where all stress and anxiety is cataloged, literally, experienced constantly. But if we could just be that mind of experiencing that amazing brain warehouse, we can then more easily experience or appreciate the experience of all the other brain warehouses. And you know, while we're at it, what houses brains? Our environment, everything. It's an interesting thought. Okay? Now, add to this that there are some profound theories about nighttime, when you sleep. And when we sleep, whether we dream or not, let's leave that aside for a moment, the brain is still active. With the exception that the information that we gather with our eyes, with our ears, with our feeling, our sense, our touch, right? All of these sensory inputs, they come very close to, if not completely, shut down. It's not that our vision center isn't working, but the input ain't happening. So the brain is still running at a million miles an hour. So what the default, the proposal here is that the brain, without new inputs, simply starts to sort all the inputs of the day. You guys may remember the experiment on taking a group of people. I don't remember how many, say 10 people. Maybe it was more, maybe it was less. And bringing them to a piano, they're not pianists, they're just people, regular people, that are not educated in the piano or music. And they're taken to a keyboard and they're shown 50 notes in a certain order. And whoever is teaching them these 50 notes in a certain order spends a fair amount of time getting them to do it, and then shuts up and lets them repeat it, try to repeat it. And, you know, as you might expect, the results are pretty poor. Some people can remember maybe 5 notes, and then they're hunting around for, is this next? Is this next? That doesn't sound right. Some people remember 10, 15 notes. Oh, man, that guy's got a good memory, right? Wow, she must play the piano. No, she just different working memory. But nobody remembers all 50 notes. Barely half. And then they stop. They go, okay, that's enough fooling around on the piano. Let's have lunch. And they have lunch, and then they have meetings. They talk about different things. They don't talk about the piano. They don't go back to the piano. And then evening comes. They have dinner. And they go to bed. And the next morning, when they first get up, what are we doing today? Oh, come on, let's go. Where are we going? What are we doing? Well, we're going to play the piano and see if you can remember what we learned yesterday. Oh, crap, I don't know. Well, just sit down, calm down, have a few breaths, wake up a little bit, and just try. And without fail, those people that the day before could only remember a certain amount of notes, all of them, in different varying degrees, played far more of those 50 notes than they were able to the day before. What happened? What changed? Their brain, while they slept unconsciously, was sorting through information. Little nuances of the order of those notes that consciously the day before they had not grasped, put in proper order, suddenly became very obvious. The brain did that. The brain sifted through all of the distractions while they were trying to learn this. I can't learn this. I won't learn this. Who's watching? All of those mental distraction. And the brain said, that's not important. That's not important. Oh, this that you barely paid attention to, Frank? Well, this goes here. This goes here. And constructs from the input a more solidified timeline. Time. So now all of these people, and I'm not saying any of them just came out and blah, 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 was a virtuoso, but they all increased their ability. So what's the lesson from this? Right? Because their brain was doing the work, but their mind was observing them doing the work. The mind and the brain, not the same thing. The librarian and the database library, they're working. The mind is kind of a witness, an observer. Oh, look at that. Look what I remembered. There's that identification part. I own this brain that's doing this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So what does this mean to us as Buddhist practitioners? Well, let's look at that for a moment. When we chant, and you first hear about chanting, singing, Namo Myōren Gekyo, several things should pop into your mind about what that's about. Remember that Shakyamuni refused to write down his sermons. He didn't have a mimeograph machine or a Xerox or whatever. What do we use today? PDFs? Right? People weren't running around with tablets and anyway, you know. The way Shakyamuni taught people to analyze the way their brains and minds work was oral. Repeat after me. Learn this lesson meant repeat this lesson. Memorize this lesson. Repeat it and memorize it accurately so that you can teach other people to repeat and remember it accurately as well. Right? I've pointed out before that it's no mistake that all of those oral lessons were given in the first person. I have lived this long. I have done this. I have gone through that. Because as you are repeating it, you also are saying, I. You take ownership immediately as you learn to recite. Isn't that clever? But more than that, knowing that your brain is in there categorizing and remembering and ordering everything, the idea from the very start was you can't discard samsara and become something else. See, that's the magical thinking of religion. Buddhism isn't about that. Buddhism says, this is our operating system. This is what we are, and this is how we experience the world and life. But it's deeply flawed. It's deeply flawed in the sense that this is where we create that which kills us. Kills us mentally, and which takes its toll physically as well. With stress, anxiety, worry, pain, emotions. They run rampant. They control us. They shouldn't control us. They're just part of the mechanism of life. Like you're breathing in and out. Like your heart beating. Don't stop your heart beating. Learn how to keep your heart healthy. Experience everything your heart provides for you. That's a different matter. This is the genius of Shakyamuni. If you want to live this life fully to the maximum of your abilities, then stop narrowing down and compartmentalizing, identifying, and restricting your life. Because that's what you're doing constantly. That's what the brain does. That's what the human mind does. Wants to own this library. Wants this library to have your name on it. That's not important. That's not life. Life is happening. Right? Moment to moment, moment to moment to moment. Life is happening. Everything is happening. Get your mind watching that. But we have this huge database we're constantly working on, even in our sleep. Well, if I get rid of that, my mind's gone. I'm not here. So what do we do? And Shakyamuni's answer is train the mind or the brain. Train the brain to support a liberated from past, present, future brain to a mind that sees outside that library as well as in this experience, being without time. Stop thinking about time. Just be in time. What? Is that even possible? It's an important idea, I feel. Who among us hasn't stood outside in the night sky on an evening with a clear sky and marveled at all the little twinkling lights? And then somebody says, you know, a large percentage of those lights you're looking at are from distant places so far away they may not even exist anymore. One thing for certain, even if they do exist, is they're not where you're looking. That light has traveled over years and years and years, hundreds of thousands of years. And whatever produced that light that you're now seeing, long moved away, if it even exists anymore. You're looking into the past. And see, oh, we're so fascinated with that. And we said, that just makes it so, of course, the past exists. I'm looking at it. That's our samsaric brain, right? Our samsaric mind. The mind, the observer, obsessed about the database. But the mind can do so much more. Because the mind realizes that light, yes, it's interesting that was created, but I'm experiencing it now. You're not looking into the past. You're looking at light arriving right now. That's all you need know. There is no facility. There is no use. There's nothing you can do with that knowledge, except catalog it. Life, that light, your experience of it, that's now. this moment, this moment, this moment. Let go of that other crap. That's just something to worry about. It's not informing your life now. What's informing your life now? Your life now is what you're seeing, what you're experiencing now. Now that sounds dismissive maybe, but it's not. It's just identifying the difference between experiencing your life contemporarily, moment to moment, and living it fully in this moment, or bogging your mind down with cataloging, putting things, hey, I need to name that, identify that. So, circling back to what are we doing as Buddhists? Well, let me put this idea to you. Maybe by repetition, which is how we learn everything, really. When we chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, if, and that's why this is a big if, as I'm constantly reminding you, savor your practice. If you chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo with the conviction, the single-mindedness, the all of the energy of instantiating this moment in Buddhahood, in fully experiencing this moment with every daimoku. When you go to sleep, that brain of yours is going to elevate that repeated experience of chanting. But if your experience of chanting is, I say this, interesting, I can make it sound like a song, I'm playing at Buddhism, then that's what your brain's going to catalog. Diversion. Distraction. Ain't this fun? And the brain may do a really good job of remembering and cataloging all of that. And your life just goes on as it is. It's maybe a little fun. Maybe you learn a little bit more of the notes on the piano. But that doesn't mean you're a pianist. Yeah? Staying with the piano analogy, what Buddhism wants to do is make you appreciate all of the noises of the universe, of life, of music, voice, babbling brook, frogs, birds, see them, experience them much more profoundly within the sinew of life. The library doesn't do that. The mind can do that, but the brain can't do that. Got to train that brain. So you have to single-mindedly chant, you have to experience Buddha fully in this moment. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, the Renge, that aha moment. You need to give the brain that experience over and over and over. Because now you can use that brain, that samsaric brain, to imbue your functioning samsaric mind with a new ability. The ability to observe from a much different, more open, more contemporary vision, experience, being, without running up and down the aisles to find a reference to put things in order. Just be here, this moment, this moment, this moment. You've got to train the brain to support that activity so that the mind doesn't have to struggle so much with staying there. Make sense? So when Shakyamuni talks about coursing through the world, the universe, the experience of life, as a bodhisattva, what he's labeling with the word bodhisattva is a mind well-trained on the brain, well-trained, well-formed, as a constantly present Buddhahood. And with that samsaric existence, you can't help but imbue, radiate, inform your environment with an entirely different state of being. Being, moment to moment. I find that truly not only fascinating, but incredibly validating for the practice of Lotus Sutra Buddhism. This is what Nichiren is indicating when he says earthly desires are enlightenment. Earthly desires represents our brain, what our samsaric functioning is, versus enlightenment. The training of those earthly desires, converting them into the experience of Buddhaness, results in enlightenment in this life, right now. Not after we die, we don't go anyplace, right? It's a profound paradigm shift in the way we experience our lives. That's amazing. Why wouldn't you want to do that? It's profound. Do you have to be a neuroscientist to understand how that works? No. You just have to be a keen observer and commit to it. Commit, commit, commit. Be resolute. Have confidence. I am altering my awareness, my mind state, my experience of life. Wow. We do this with everything. We teach ourselves how to be a tennis player, how to be a Rubik's Cube excellent solver. Name it. That's what we do. Now, since that's innate, how can we use it to make our lives more experiential and less stressed, anxious? Who doesn't want less misery and more amazement? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, my friends. Thank you for your practice. Always remain, if your confidence is lacking, if you feel any doubt, this is what this resource is for. Study. Read, download an e-book. Read a Gosho, read a sutra. Spark your librarian to go, oh yeah, this stuff is amazing. And then come back to your mind of bodhisattva, your mind of Buddha-ness. Guarantee you, it'll come back because you're training your brain. Your brain is monkeys. It's going to distract you. Some days are going to feel more confident than others. Don't let that impede you. And if you feel impeded, and you know it happens, that's what study is for. And, you know, and I will fully admit to you, there have been times in my practice when screw reading. I don't want to study. But still, in my lowest moments, quote unquote. Still, my brain was trained enough, amazingly, to sit my butt in front of my butsudan and my mandala and just chant. And I may not have felt a great amount of conviction, but I did demand, even if I didn't feel good, namo myo renge kyo, not pleading with my Gohonzon mind, but demanding, get me out of this hole. I know you can do it, so why aren't you doing it right now? Damn it. Buddhahood. I must reach the other shore. Right? Even if the river currents are strong and you're halfway through the river and the other shore is starting to look further and further away and you're exhausted, do you stop trying? Do you give up? Oh, that's such a sad proposition, isn't it? Namo myoho renge kyo. Always strive. Nothing trains the brain more powerfully than that. And the amazing thing is, and it makes sense that we chant and do gangyo morning and evening, because if we chant in the evening, our brain has fresh experience of Buddhahood. By the time we get up in the morning, we get up and we want to do gangyo. We want to chant. Gotta do this, just like I gotta have a cup of coffee. I gotta do this. And if we start the day that way, we're more resilient to all of the other stuff that's going to compound that library. Oh, we need another wing. Build another wing. We need another database. Stick in this warehouse. More stuff. Oh, the old stuff. Oh, again. Right? The day gets long. But we constantly have that. The brain is developing that section of Buddha-ness. It's there. Sometimes it's buried under a lot of other books, but it's still there. And it creeps through. And we get little insights during the day, even if the day sucks. If we really think about it, especially when we chant at night before we go to bed, do gangyo, little things of the day come up. Yeah, we notice things that we wouldn't otherwise have noticed because we're training our brain into Buddhahood. The experience of life is in the moments and the trajectory into the next. The past moments, yeah, we've experienced a lot of stuff, but it doesn't pertain to this experience. Oh, but if I forget about the past, then I rob the present of all that information, right? All the folklore and all that. A man who forgets the past robs the present. A man who's not paying attention to the present robs the future. Blah, blah, blah. All of that talk. Yeah, that's samsaric. Great. I understand samsaric logic. That's not what I'm talking about. And in fact, let's use that. If all you do is focus on the library and the warehouse, you do rob the moment and the future because you're not present. You're not here. This is what Shakyamuni is saying. Be here now. Look at the momentum of life and your participation in it. The past will take care of itself. The library, let the brain do what the brain does. But educate the brain with this new observation, this new momentum. Feed that brain life information, not attachment, past foibles. Let the brain do its work. It'll do the job of setting you up. But give it enlightenment. Turn the light on in that attic, that huge warehouse. What good is a warehouse of libraries, of databases, if there are no lights? Fumbling around. Oh, gosh, there's a new aisle here. What's in here? Well, I can't see anything. Right? Be the light in that, around that warehouse. Be the sun. All right. Enough. Boy, I went on a long time about that. Anyway, hope you got something out of that rant. I needed to say it. I'm not sure why. Maybe I needed to hear it as well as some of you. Namo Myoho-renge-kyo. Thank you for listening, for being part of this sangha, for supporting this sangha. Like, subscribe, right? Patreon, PayPal. Namo Myoho-renge-kyo. Thank you so much. And we'll move into the next part of Nichiren on Mandala and Gohanzon. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your health. Got to keep that brain well fed. I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.